Welcome to the Church on the Ridge podcast. This is David Wall. With the holidays approaching, some of the warm fuzzies that come with the traditions and get-togethers might come to mind. At the same time, the holidays may stress you out. Extended family, relationship issues, dysfunction, things that could be triggers may come like uninvited guests into your life. How do you prepare yourself to deal with unhealthy patterns that come around this time of year? Today we start a series called Healthy Holidays. Charlie goes through many of the tensions we face, where you feel obligated to act a certain way around people, maybe because you're related to them. But that isn't always the healthiest way to be. How do we make this holiday season a healthy one, emotionally and relationally? Take a listen. I think you'll enjoy.
This is what Christmas is all about. The title of this series is Healthy Holidays. I almost titled it Healthy or Hateful, your choice. And I thought, nah, that's not going to be good. But the big idea for tonight is it's okay not to hug everyone this holiday season. You know, I want to just again reiterate what Stephen said about Cornerstone Generations 2020 and Cornerstone Generation. It was so cool. They're working on the project. We're trying to get on track to get in for Easter. That'd be kind of cool, huh? So if you think about praying for it, and I know some of you are like, hey, it's fine. It is. It's really okay. But Easter would be kind of cool. Excited you're here. Excited we have a place that we can meet. Stephen mentioned Cambodia. I remember the second or third time I was in Cambodia, I preached in a church, brand new church, and the church didn't have any money. They're you know, just poorer than poor. And so the only place that they could get land wasn't even land. They couldn't get land, but they were given a spot over the sewage dump. And if you can imagine, it's not like a sewage dump here, but just as bad. I mean, just in terms of the smell and the whole thing. So they're over a sewage dump. You walked on planks, wooden planks to get out to the church, climb up these stairs. And I preached for, you know, like me, normal, about 7-8 minutes, and over a sewage dump. And the people loved it because they were in their own church and they had paid for it with their own money. They had done their own Cornerstone for Generation kind of thing to raise money for this church. They were excited to have it. And I thought, wow, so excited. And we get to be up here in a room with the roof and without raw sewage running under our, you know, the planks of our chairs and the whole thing. Isn't that cool? Yeah, so, hey, praise God. I'm glad you guys are here. Okay. Wouldn't it be great, you watched the little clip there, if, it's a different stage, I almost fell off. Wouldn't the world would be great if it weren't for difficult people? How great would the world be if there just wasn't difficult people out there? And, you know, this holiday, you're going to encounter some people. You're going to have to encounter some people. People that maybe you like, okay, it's the once a year kind of thing. Maybe Thanksgiving, Christmas, one of the parties at work, something like that. You're going to encounter some people. And it can be a joyful or it can be a really not such a great experience. And God's the one who put this thing called people on this planet. Way back in the book of Genesis, right, he created the whole earth. The Big Bang started and he was the guy who pulled the plug on the pin on the grenade and started the created the universe and he spoke you and I into existence. And he said this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, if you notice on the screen, not in your notes there, the us is capitalized and underlined because God is speaking. He says, then the Lord said, let us. And you go, oh, wait a minute. Who's he talking to? You don't refer to yourself as us. He is talking about his character, his nature, in the very way he's saying, let us make man in our image. He's telling us what this thing is all about. God is a Trinity. You've heard that term before, a triune God. God is a God of relationship. He's talking about the Trinity, the three parts of the Godhead, one God, three distinct elements, which is really a weird concept, and maybe in heaven we'll figure it out completely, but yeah, but it makes sense at some level. Another level, you just go, I can't get my head around it. But God is saying, hey, we are relationship. And we're going to make man in a relational, as a relational being, because I am a relational being. He himself is referring to himself in community. He says, we are a people destined for community. Community, the greatest thing, relationships. In fact, Jesus said the greatest thing that you can do is love God, have a relationship with God, and have a loving relationship with the people around you. It's the greatest thing you can do. Do those two things, he said, and you're going to live. The opposite of that is also true. You don't love God, and you don't love the people around you, and you're already walking dead. Some of you have experienced that in a marriage, in a relationship that was just, and was like, man, I think I'd rather be dead. In fact, people have taken their own life because relationship has gone sour, and they've not known how to wake up the next morning and face their world. Jesus also said, there's only two things that you're going to take to heaven with you. Who you are, your character, how you live this life, and the people that you influenced for Christ. The relationships that you influenced for Christ. You're not going to take your success, you're not going to take your medals, you're not going to take your trophies, you're not going to take your 401k, you're not going to take your car, your house. Hopefully, you recognize and go, whoa, if I'm only taking two things to heaven, myself, my relationship with my character, who I am, and the people around me, then I want to do everything I can to make sure that those people have an encounter with Christ and know him, and I'm in good relationship with them. Unfortunately, not everyone's on the same page. There are people who stand in the way of your progress, who push you down, who keep you, who make you feel bad. They hurt you. They leave you confused and sometimes lost and empty. Difficult people. Dean Sherman once said, every problem in the world is a relationship problem. If you have a problem right now, it's a relationship problem. It's not the problem that you think it is, the people behind that problem. A boss, a coworker, a son, a mom, a banker, an ex, somebody in your life. And what's wild, there's a lot of those difficult people are in our own family that we're going to have to encounter. In fact, let me ask you, anyone have difficult people in their life? You can raise your hand. Be honest in church, right? It's okay. Yeah, we've got difficult people in our life. And the Bible teaches us that just because he created us for loving relationship, and he said, love me and love people, there are some relationships that he says are not healthy. There are some relationships that are not healthy, they're not good, that we need to remove ourselves from. A difficult person in your life, maybe a family member, someone, a coworker. You can't not see them. I got to work with this guy every day. Might even be your boss. It doesn't mean that you have to be close to them, that you have to hug them. All right? Love, yes. Hug, not always. Not always. Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, wrote more books in the New Testament than anybody else. Luke wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else, but Paul wrote more of the books and letters, all right? But Paul, he writes to Titus, and he tells him this. He says, warn troublemakers. I want you to warn troublemakers once and then warn them again, and then check this out. Do we have that slide? It's right after the one that you thought I was going to use. Yeah, right after that one. There you go. Warn troublemakers once and twice, then don't hug him anymore. Don't hug him anymore. You're like, what? I thought Jesus was always loving and always just warm and fuzzy. No. No, there are difficult people, and there are times when you need to remove yourself from those difficult people and have nothing else to do with them. Some of you have had unhealthy relationships with difficult people in your life for a long time. In fact, you've had the difficult person in your life for so long, you've forgotten what it feels like to be normal, to have a healthy relationship. And you don't even know that relationship is harmful, even though the Bible tells you that it is. You don't know that God has a better way for you to live this holiday season than to continually hug these difficult people in your life. You don't know what to do. And this holiday season, you're going to be trapped again. You're going to be put in a position where these people, you're going to be around them, and you're going to go right back into this thing for one of probably three reasons. Number one, you feel an obligation to that person. Oh, they're my uncle. They're my Maybe it's your own mom or dad. It's my brother-in-law. Well, I have this obligation. Or maybe a false sense of love. Well, the person says they love me. Well, that person says that we're right? Or number three, you're afraid that you'll be abandoned. What if my mom never calls me again? Or if my dad never talks to me? What if? So this series today, how do we have a healthy holiday? And today's really about having healthy relationships. Let's talk, what is an unhealthy person? What is a healthy person? What's an unhealthy person? Because when we get in this thing, we almost forget, I mentioned this, what it feels like or what a normal relationship is. Healthy or unhealthy? Number one, a healthy person helps us become a better version of us in the image of God. That whole thing that God created us to be in his image. Said, hey, what image did God create you? I want to help you to be the best version that God created you to be. That's a healthy person in your life. Someone who says, whoa, what are the gifts that you have? What are the drives? What are the dreams that you have? I want to fan the flame of that thing and make you white hot for that and push you along. Parents who see your gifts and your talents and your abilities, your beauty and your strengths, and they say, yes, go for it. An unhealthy relationship person wants to make me into their image, who they want me to be. You're never good enough. Right? Why can't you be more like? True comment, I heard this. Woman had three children, went home. Dad said, what happened to that cute little thing that used to live in our home? Because she had gained a little weight from the kids, and the dad is still trying to force her into this image and this mold. A husband trying to conform a wife into something that he wants her to be. A wife trying to nag her husband and to change him into something that she wants him to be. An unhealthy person wants to turn you into something else than what God wants, into what they want. The next one. A healthy relationship, a healthy person in life, connects you to and fosters healthy relationships. A healthy person in your life connects you to and fosters healthy relationships. Hey, I want you to have great relationships. Hey, this is what a good relationship looks like. Oh, yeah, you need to be that person's friend. Oh, yeah, we need to have them over. You know, this whole idea of love begets love. When you're in a loving, healthy relationship, that thing spills out. And when you're receiving and giving love to somebody else, the person who you're in the relationship with is not intimidated by it. They're not threatened by it. It's just this beautiful thing that happens. No, man, we love each other. We're in a healthy relationship. I have no problem with you having a relationship with this person as well. In fact, they promote it. Great family has a lot of great relationships. When you have a great family, you got a lot of friends over hanging out. An unhealthy person is paranoid about your relationships. You don't have anyone over for the holidays except for the same family members you always have over. Hey, can we invite so-and-so? Nope, just us. Nope. Well, why not? Well, nope. Right. Very little trust. No, you can't hang out with your friends. And when it's in this kind of paranoid, untrusting relationship, it actually fosters that in you and I. Our trust muscle begins to be weakened. And eventually atrophies. And so you may have grown up in a relationship in a family where it was very, very untrusting. This family and this is it. No, you can't have those friends. Very controlling in that way. And your trust muscle began to weaken. And so you have a hard time trusting people. This is what happened to me. My dad was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic. I didn't know it growing up. Family didn't know it. All I knew is that we could never have people come over to our house. We couldn't ride our bikes more than three houses this way and three houses this way. Our friends were riding their bikes all around the block, going to the park, and no, we could only stay in this little area. We could never go on a field trip with the rest of the school. Never allowed to go on a field trip. All the kids going on these field trips to the zoo and the different places to go. No, we would stay in our classroom and do work because my dad would hold us back. And I grew up in this environment where we didn't trust anybody. And so as I grew, I didn't trust anybody. My whole life, I battled with this idea of, oh, who's out to get me? Oh, wait a minute, is this person going to rip me off? Are they going to stab me in the back? Unhealthy people do not promote freedom, but they create bondage, oppress, poison, this controlling nature in their life. Not allowed to make your own decisions. Kind of forced into their decisions. Can I bring ham for Thanksgiving? No. We don't do ham in our family. We only... It's controlling mentally. And some of you are laughing because, like, what is the problem with ham? Why can't... Well... Relationships are not to control you. Remember, we're made in the image of God. We have a heart, we have a mind, we have a soul. We're tripartite. We'll talk about this in the weeks to come, but we're a community within ourselves, a three-part being. And no one can control those three parts except for you. No one's designed to control them except for you. And when somebody's got this paranoid idea, it creates this little cult, and they want you all to themselves. Paul wrote this to the Galatians. He said, those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. Check this out. They are trying to shut you off from me so you'll only pay attention to them. You ever been in a relationship like that? We can only be the ones be friends. And they try to shut you out from the other relationships so that you can only have a relationship with them. Letter D. A healthy person promotes you getting close to God. Promotes you getting close to God. Hey, how did God make you? Let me teach you about love and forgiveness. Let me model for you love and forgiveness. We're all going to blow it. We're all going to do things that are unhealthy. Every one of us in the room have done unhealthy things. In a healthy relationship, this person says, hey, let's go and fall on the grace of God. Cling to the grace of God. And they want to discover your purpose and help you serve people and help you really live in a healthy world. Good relationships, healthy relationships foster our spiritual growth. Why were you born? This God who spoke you into existence. What was his plan for your life? Not my plan for your life. Hey, I don't want you to be what I want you to be. I want you to be what God created you to be. Do you want to go to church? Maybe the person is not a religious person. They don't go to church at all. But a healthy person who's not religious will not spurn you for going to church, will not shame you for having spirituality. They will help foster that. Say, well, it's not for me, but man, if I want you to connect with this greater being. The writer of Hebrews said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's healthy. How do we motivate one another to do what God created us to do? An unhealthy person pushes us away from God. In fact, they damage our capacity to go through life, the hard things of life, because we don't have the God who created us to help us through those difficult seasons. An unhealthy person will teach you how to not go to turn to God, but turn to some other thing to medicate the pain that you're experiencing, a disappointment in your life, a frustration, a loss, and we all have them. It's part of life. And an unhealthy person will say, hey, here's what you need. And they'll hand you the drug of choice rather than, hey, can I pray with you? I have nothing to give you. I cannot heal this wound in your life, but I know the one who can. And an unhealthy person will point you to something less. When there's a failure in your life, a healthy person will wrap their arms around you and say, man, it's okay, I've been there. Boy, I know what that feels like. Or maybe I've not been there, but I'm sorry that you're going through it. And they'll put their arm around you and there'll be no shame. An unhealthy person will say, well, you idiot, what were you thinking? You should have known better than that. And they make it worse. They inflict more damage. They belittle. They put you down. Healthy person teaches us, encourages us, spurs our career, guides you in your decision making for college, for next steps in your work life. The greatest act of love is somebody who enables you to be who God made you to be, his image. We need to surround ourselves, even this holiday season, with godly people. Dysfunctional people creates more dysfunction. Isn't that weird? We think, oh, hey. No. The dysfunction will create more dysfunction, and it will create it in you. That's why the Bible says sometimes you've got to remove yourself. Love, but not always hug. How do we get rid of unhealthy relationships? How do we do it? It's hard. It's people that we're close to. Wouldn't be a big deal if they were other side of the world. I don't have to talk to that person. Sometimes they live in our own home. Sometimes they're in our own family. Sometimes we work with them. First of all, don't try this alone. If you've got an unhealthy relationship that you need to separate yourself from, don't try it alone. Get some of your community group members with you in this. Get some healthy people in your life that will walk with you through it. Hebrews 5 says this. He says, solid food is for the mature, but who by constant use have trained themselves and distinguished between good and evil. So the first thing we have to do is we have to recognize unhealthy people. Number one, we have to recognize unhealthy people. We have to distinguish between good and evil. Hey, this person in my life may be somebody that I'm really close to, either through family or some other connection. But I still have to, they are unhealthy. I don't care if they're my dad. They are unhealthy. I don't care if they're my child. They're unhealthy. When you guys have heard this before, when the FBI teaches counterfeiters how to spot counterfeit money, right? They don't give them a whole bag full of counterfeit money and say, hey, look at this. This is all bad money. They put them in the room and they give them all real money. Says, I want you to stay in this room. Sometimes weeks. And they feel it. They smell it. They look at it. They get to know the real thing. And they go, oh, wait a minute. No, I know the real thing. Some of us need to get to know the real thing. Some of you have been in unhealthy relationships so long that you don't recognize there's something else out there. And you've got to recognize unhealthy people in your community group. Ask them, hey, we're going over to my four. And they'll want to, is this normal? Something in me just feels a little, but we've been doing it our whole life. Is that normal? Hey, when my dad always does this before we sit down to eat, is that normal? Open up to the people around you and get an idea. Hey, is this healthy or is this unhealthy? Begin to recognize it. Number two, stop lying. Ooh, stop lying. What do I mean by that? People ask, Charlie, how do you handle critical people? How do you handle them? It's funny. I tell those people, I said, I'm just honest with them. I tell them right there, I don't agree with you. You know what happens when critical people don't find somebody that agrees with them? Oh, you know, our government's all messed up. Oh, you know, those Republicans. Oh, you know, those Democrats. Oh, you know, and you're supposed to be having family fun, just family get together, and all of a sudden it just goes, yeah. Oh, that church you go to, that church on the ridge, that's just full of them kind of people. Right? You just go, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't see it that way. When I was little, I don't know where I got it, but I got a tennis racket. Nobody in my family ever played tennis. I don't even know where I got this tennis racket. I got a tennis racket and a tennis ball, but no one played with me because I only got one racket. So I go out in the front yard and I just hit against the garage door. Right back then they were wooden garage doors. You don't remember that, but they made them out of wood. And I'd hit against the garage door and it'd come back to hit it, come back to hit it, come back to hit it. Some of you are like that garage door. People throw criticism, griping, complaining at you, and you just take it, you just hit it back to them. Back to them. Back to them. Sometimes you'll just smile. Or sometimes nod your head. At worst, you'll actually get involved in the negativity and the complaining and the griping and the criticism. And you're like that wall. And they'll keep hitting it as long as that thing will keep coming back. But when you step out of the way and say, I don't agree. Hey, the ball didn't come back. Hey. And they will go find another wall to hit against. They're just looking for somebody, an unhealthy person is just looking for somebody they can beat up, they can beat against. keep hitting that ball. If you stand there and smile, you stand there and nod your head, you stand there and listen, what you're actually doing is you're lying to them. You don't agree with it in your heart, but you're doing it out of one of those three reasons. Obligation. I just want to keep the peace. And that person then is controlling you, and nobody controls you. Paul wrote to the Colossians, he says, do not lie to each other. Man, you've left that behind. You're not that person anymore. Maybe when you were growing up, it was the right thing to do. Everybody in your family just kind of, this is just known, this is how we operate. But God has moved you out of that. Says, hey, I want you into a different frame of reference. My spirit is now controlling your life. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, he says, I will not allow anything to control me. When you allow people to gripe and complain and you nod and they're controlling you. You want to frustrate someone? Tell them no. Tell them no. Someone's controlling you, say, no, I'm not going to do it. Hey, will you do this? No. I've never heard you say that before. I can't believe you're treating me like that. I can't believe. How in the world? They'll be so frustrated. You know what they'll do? They'll go find somebody else to frustrate. They'll go find somebody else to play garage door with. The greatest thing to get rid of unhealthy people is for you to be healthy. For you to live healthy. Dysfunction doesn't work when you're healthy. It doesn't work. Dysfunctional people do not like it when you're healthy. And they will leave you alone and go find a dysfunctional person. Men hate the light. John 3 says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. When you stop playing their game, their deeds are exposed. They're looking at that thing and they're going, whoa, 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 whoa. This person is acting different. I'm going to find somebody else to be unhealthy with. Number three, get help. Get help. They're unhealthy, controlling people, and sometimes they're stronger than you are. They've been at it a long time, and they're maybe someone in a position of authority or power over your life, and you can't do it alone. Maybe there's a drug or alcohol abuse in your life. And you need Al-Anon, or you need Celebrate Recovery. We're starting up here soon. To learn these skills that you can't handle it on your own. And you've been trying for a long time, but they've got those grip and those hooks in you. You need others to come alongside you and to help you deal with them. You need to help you see that the person in your life is unhealthy. And it's not a normal relationship. You need to help you be honest with the people around you. They need to help you to hold your head up high. Say, I'm going to live different. Number four, I'm going to remove myself. I'm going to remove myself from some relationships. Love, yes. Hug, no. Abused women. Abused men. The police are here for a reason. We have these things called restraining orders because someone in power is using their power against us, and so we have to call in somebody else who's got more power. And some of you need to remove yourself from some relationships. Maybe this year you don't go over to their house for Christmas, Thanksgiving, or the party, and you say, no, I'm not going to allow that any longer. I'm not going to allow my kids to experience that. We're going to live healthy. We're going to get healthy. Here's the challenge. It starts with you. Starts with me. You don't have to raise. Well, actually, anybody here have issues? Anybody here have issues? Who's not raising their hand? I want you to stand up because I want to show the rest of the people what denial looks like. Laura Lee. Oh, you have issues. Oh, okay. Chris is going. Yeah, come on. Now we all do. We got them, right? We got them, and so. So we may be the unhealthy person, or we may be in a place where we're unhealthy. And God is wanting to work us out through this holiday season and say, hey, let me start in you. I came to this earth not so that we could have parties and get drunk and tolerate people that we don't like. I came to this earth to change how we see the world and how we live. And he came and he gave us that golden rule. Remember that golden rule? Do unto others as you want them to do to you. Right? Do to others. Whatever you would like them to do to you. And this is the essence of the whole Bible right here. So you got some unhealthy people in your life. Maybe I got some unhealthy issues in my own life. And if it's going to start with me, because I can't control anybody but me. I'm the only person who can control me. You can't control me, but I can control me. And so I'm going to work on me being healthy. So as your pastor, I love you, and I want this holiday season to be really healthy, so I'm going to give you some love and not a hug, okay? All right. God created us in his image, body, mind, and spirit. We have our body, mind, and spirit. We control it. We have this thing called EQ. We're learning it on our team at the church staff here, going through this whole course on emotional intelligence. You know, I got this dog. I inherited this dog from Sandy's mom when she passed, and so that's why we can't get rid of it. But we have this dog, and this, the dog is kind of fluffy, kind of cute. We have this cat that is absolutely cursed to hell. But this dog we have is my daughter's dog. She comes home from Albania. She's just arrived in San Francisco, and so I got to keep the cat too. But this dog, if you even get within smelling distance of our yard, she starts barking. And it's like this big, but it is this loud, annoying bark. It's awful. You know, never once has that dog stopped and looked at me and said, "Do you think I was a little loud with that bark? Do you think I came across a little too strong?" Molly has never stopped and asked me that. But you know what? There are times when I will be in somebody's grill and I will be barking like crazy. And I got to take a step back and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe that was a little too strong. Maybe I came across a little too harsh there." It's time for you and I to do just a little bit of introspection, okay? So we got to ask some questions. Number one, first question. Is my honesty causing harm? Is my honesty causing harm? Remember I said we got to stop lying? So you got to ask, is my honesty causing harm? We say things that are harmful and then go, hey, Pastor Charlie told me to stop lying. So I'm just going to tell you like it is. Whoa. All right. Philippians 2 says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others. Remember, do unto others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. How am I coming across? What am I sounding like to the people around me? Is this the right way to say this? Is this even reasonable? When I'm talking to you, what's your preferred way to have me talk to you? Have you ever tried that with your spouse? Hey, how do you like me to talk to you? Is this an appropriate question to ask that person? Sometimes, because it's something we ask, hey, maybe it's not even appropriate. If you're not getting the respect in a situation that you think you deserve, maybe ask yourself, am I doing something worthy of respect? Am I doing something worthy of respect, or I just demand respect because I just think I deserve it? Or am I actually doing something that, hey, yeah. Number two. Do I give hugs and not love? Always giving in to make peace. Always showing up because the obligation. Begin to take a look at yourself and say, hey, what is it in me that's creating this? Is it one of those three things? Do I feel an obligation here? Is it a false sense of love? Do I have the fear that they're going to abandon me if I keep this up? What are the things in me that are creating this unhealthy continuance? Love says, I'm going to stop the madness. I'm going to stop hugging people. They shouldn't be hugging. You know, you can talk to people when you're in a relationship. Sandy and I had to figure this out. We're in a fight. Excuse me, we don't fight. We just discuss really loud. The neighbors can hear us like three houses down when we're discussing. But we're having a discussion. And sometimes we'll forget what we are discussing about. We don't know what that was. We are not hearing each other. And we discovered that Sandy, she needs space. She needs time to process. She's a process thinker. I'm a right now, man. Let's get it solved. Let's get it done. Let's put this thing behind us and move on. And Sandy needs space. And so we have to stop and say, hey, what is it? How can we talk so that we can both be heard? Hey, Dad, if you're going to, how can we talk? Is that we can't talk about the issue right now because you're talking about politics and you're just all fired up and we cannot. How can we have a conversation? So you got to rise above the issue to a new issue. How can we just have a conversation? And Sandy, I discovered that in the midst of the fight, we can't have a discussion, but we discovered that, hey, if I give her space and then she's able to process and then I'm able to give her some space and then he actually gives me an opportunity to calm down as well and then we can come back together and have a conversation. Are you able to have a conversation with somebody? Instead of just hugging them, instead of just, oh, yeah. Hey, can we talk about this weirdness? How can we be both be heard? Sometimes a person doesn't have any capacity for it. They're too immature. And you need your community group to help you. You know, the thing that Sandy and I have discovered, too, is that some discussions we can't solve ourselves. We need a third party. We talked about this after Kevin's talk last week. Thank you, Kevin, for encouraging us. And our community group talked about it and said, hey, there's some things we've got to talk together about. Bring in a third party. Maybe in this family dynamic, you bring in somebody else. Number three goes right along with it. Ask yourself the question, do I need help? I've tried everything I know to do with this person. Like, it's not changing. The relationship is still unhealthy. Do I need help? Before Sandy and I got married, I was driving up in Linwood. I'd borrowed a friend's car, and I stopped at a stoplight, and the guy behind me was honking his horn. I wasn't texting because we didn't have cell phones back then. If you can believe, there's a day when we didn't have cell phones. I don't know what I was doing. I was changing the 8-track, I think. He was so frustrated that he actually bumped my car to get me moving. And it wasn't my car. I borrowed it. And I jumped out of the car. This rage hit me. I jumped out of the car. I went back there. And he could see in my eyes that I was fired up and ticked off. And he rolls his window up. Back then you had to do like this. And he rolls his window up. And I slammed my fist right through that windshield. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been angry before. But I was so angry. And all of a sudden, and I was in Bible college, by the way. I'm training to be a pastor. And I put my fist through this guy's car and I was ready to pull him out of that car. And it hit me. Johnny, you need help. You've got anger issues. And you need help. And it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. It was just, you know, that voice of God. Because something bad was going to happen in the middle of that street. And I walked away, got in the car, and I drove off. And I was hearing God say, you got to get this under control. I want to help you. And I did what many of you do. I ignored it. And I carried that into my marriage. And that anger would flare up. And I could kind of keep it from being too bad. Right? I never put my fist through a window again. But if you know anything about somebody who's just trying to control it, it's still there and it's still ugly and it's still harmful and it's awful. And I didn't get help. Which brings me to number four. Am I willing to make changes? Am I willing to adapt? Adapting to others' needs. You know, I love little puppies, and you ever see these little puppies? Hannah picked one up and over in Albania. She asked if she could bring it home. I said, if I get rid of your cat, you can bring the dog home, and didn't go over. But these little puppies, you watch them, and all these little puppies trying to grab mama and get some food, right? And what does mama do? She'll move her body so those little just so she can just those little guys can come and feed off of her. She's adapting. That's normal. It's what Jesus did for us. In Philippians 2, he said, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus came and showed up just like us. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus came at Christmas time not so we could have parties and get drunk. He came so he could change us. And are you willing to adapt tonight? I put my fist to that window and I was in Bible college. I thought I had given my life to Jesus. I thought I was a Christian. But I wasn't willing to adapt. I wasn't willing to change. I wasn't willing to be like Christ. So I'm not sure if that made me a Christian or not, because that's the word Christian simply means like Christ. I wasn't willing to become like him. I wanted to be like me, and I wanted other people to be what I wanted them to be. I was trying to make them in my image. 10 years into the marriage, and you know what happened. It was unhealthy, and it began to fall apart. And I did some terrible things. And I came to the place where I said, Jesus, I need you. I need you. You came so that I could live. Now, Jesus, take my life. He's faithful. He's never been a time where he didn't leave me. Even when I was in my worst, he didn't leave me. But he didn't allow me to continue in my aberration, my unhealthiness. Some of you tonight need to open up your heart to Jesus. If you're going to go into this holiday season healthily, it starts with saying, Jesus, I need you.